Dogs is located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, 1 mile south of I-295. Leave your contact info today at 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, just before we go back to our subject today, Pride Month and the Pastor's Responsibility, I want you to listen to a wonderful clip from the Redemption Trio that will be with us on June the 30th. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a sample of Redemption Trio. It will be with us on June 30th at 10 o'clock for the Sunday morning services. We'll have our celebration for Independence Day on June 30th. We invite you, looking forward to having you with us. The Redemption Trio will be in concert. We'll have a pulpit message challenging our hearts biblically. Then immediately following that, we'll have a barbecue lunch. You're invited to come and be with us. Now, don't you come just for the barbecue lunch. Won't you here for the preaching and for the trio? Love to have you. That service starts at 10 o'clock on June 30th. We're looking forward to having you with us. And ladies and gentlemen, today we're talking about Pride Month and the pastor. And we've just gotten to the point of talking about the pastor's responsibility is threefold. That is, as preacher, as prophet, and as protector. It is the responsibility of the pastor to protect the flock of God that God has given us. You look at Matthew chapter 7 and you see the false teachers that are coming in. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. You look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and you see God telling us what the pastor's responsibility is as preacher, as protector, and as protector, he's to be the shepherd of the flock. Well, the scripture says, feed the flock of God that he's given you charge over. The word feed is the word poimenitate, means to lead, to guide, to guard, to protect, to direct, to preserve, and make sure that the wolf does not come in and harm the sheep. And that's our responsibility. And we find today, ladies and gentlemen, more and more are afraid of hurting somebody's feelings, afraid of somebody being bothered by something that is said. I'm looking at a headline that says, pastoral support for same-sex marriage stalls out. Let me just read this article. It's dated June the 4th of 2024. Almost a decade after the Supreme Court legalized same-sex marriages across the country, most pastors remain opposed and the supporting percentage isn't growing any larger. 1 in 5 U.S. Protestant pastors, that's 21%, say they see nothing wrong with two people of the same sex getting married.
My God.
21% of the pastors, they call them Protestant pastors, 21% of the pastors say that it's all right. Now, further in that, 4% of the pastors say they're not sure. Ladies and gentlemen, if you think it's okay for sodomite marriages and 4% say that you're not sure, something is wrong with the intelligence of the one that's supposed to be a mouthpiece for God as the preacher, prophet, and protector of the flock. Dr. Davis, how do you respond to those numbers?
I am very shocked. Can I say that?
Yes.
Because for me, then, they must not be real pastors.
Mm-hmm. They're hirelings.
Because that's it. That's right. That's right. They don't care anything, number one, about their own dignity.
Mm-hmm.
Because, listen, you have got to have some kind of dignity in order to be a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, your life has got to line up with the Word of God. You got to be filled with the Spirit of God. And then you got to be led by the Spirit. Now, if none of these things are taking place in your life, you're not worthy to be a pastor.
Right.
Now, let's go to 1 Timothy when it talks about the qualifications of a bishop.
Yes.
The number one thing it says in there is that the bishop is to be no novice.
That's right.
That's an unskilled beginner.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you don't know anything about the job. And I'm going to call it a job because that's exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
People don't understand when it comes down to shepherding people, that's a job.
A task.
It may not be a job that we're talking about, like the kind that you get paid for.
That's right.
But still, 24-7.
24-7 catch.
It's a job.
You've always got sheep wanting to jump over the fence.
Amen. Amen. So now, if you're not willing to take on that responsibility, if you're not standing up for God, number one, and not retreating, taking a back seat simply because you want to keep friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one of the main problems in the church way back a long time ago.
Right.
Still like that today.
Still like that
what
today.
You're talking about right now.
And it's,
think about, they got the respect of persons in mind.
That's right.
And if you do that, you'll never get anywhere.
And it goes back to the fact that rather than being the threefold responsibility, preacher, prophet, and protector, many are just simply preachers. And with that, and there's some people think, well, that's too critical. With that, it's preaching mealy-mouthed pop-up voodoo theology rather than preaching exegetically, verse by verse, word for word, what does the Bible say, how do we interpret it, and then how do we apply it. That's the preacher's responsibility in the pulpit preaching. But then prophetess, the prophet of confronting sin, confronting the wickedness of the leadership in the world, confronting those political leaders that we've placed into office that's ruling over us from the standpoint of political ideology. Most today, as pastors, they may be mealy-mouthed preachers, but they're certainly not protectors of protecting the flock. I have said, Pastor Davis, and when I get to heaven, God might say, son, you were totally wrong. But I've said for less than 100 years now, I've said that the pastors have a whole lot to be answering for before God if they're not protecting the sheep and warning of dangers to come. But the overwhelming majority of what I see today from the pulpit standpoint is that they're afraid of hurting somebody's feelings. They're afraid that they might have a loose, likes, lost liberal in the congregation that writes big checks. They're afraid they might have a socialist, Marxist media person in the church. Ladies and gentlemen, as a protector of the flock, the pastor is not to be afraid of the wolf and is not to be afraid of those in the congregation that might get angry. You've heard me say this before, Dr. Davis. A number of years ago, one of our faithful men, he's with the Lord now, but he had asked the question. He said, Pastor, are we having the Democrats in our church? I said, God, I hope not. We need to recognize that the pastor's responsibility is protector, and that as protector is to be the prophetess, the prophet of God, warning of abortion, warning of the sodomite lifestyle, warning of what the local, state, and national leaders are saying and doing that's antithetical to the Word of God. And when we get into this that we call Pride Month, we need to recognize some facts. I'm going to read some facts that I touched on earlier but did not elaborate. Pride Month celebrates its 25th anniversary. The 2024 fashion collection from companies that give back to support LGBTQIA+ community. This article starts out this way. Pride Month originated in 1999 when President Bill Clinton declared through federal proclamation that every June in America will be recognized as Gay and Lesbian Pride Month. This is Clinton's work. Listen to his oration. I encourage all Americans to observe this month with appropriate programs, ceremonies, activities that celebrate diversity, and to remember throughout the year the gay and lesbian Americans whose many and varied contributions have enriched our national life, end quote, President Bill Clinton. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to ask a question. How does sodomy, how does the lifestyle that's degenerate and that God has turned them over to a reprobate mind, how does the lifestyle of one that according to Genesis chapter 19, God destroyed two cities because of that sin, how does one that according to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, that's going to die and burn in hell, how do you say they have added so much to a society if they're the, one of the causative factors for the determination of God to judge a nation?
My. Dr. Youngblood, when you look at that, I mean, lawbreakers are making the rules.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
That's a big problem we have in society right now today.
We got the inmates in charge of the prison.
Amen. And now look at this president, Bill Clinton, what he had to say and how he passed this law. I don't expect any better out of him.
That's right. Because
look at the disgrace that he brought to the office.
Yes.
When he got caught with that young girl.
That's right.
Right in the Oval Office, right, that he stood before the United States of America on national TV and denied. He just lied.
That's right.
Straight out.
Mm-hmm.
I did not have sex with that woman.
I'll never forget that. I watched it.
My goodness. I mean, it's to me, it's very disgraceful.
Yes.
So for pastors, for us, we're trying to encourage you today to take a stand on the word of God, because whether you know it or not, you're going to be accountable for those people's souls when you stand before God, because you're going to have their blood on your hands.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not going to be any way for you to escape from that.
Mm-hmm.
I think about Nathan the prophet. Nathan stuck out that bony finger and David
said, "You're the man."
Amen. John the Baptist, it might have costed him his head, but he still told Herod, "It's wrong for you to have your brother's wife."
That's right.
We have to do that. We have to stand on holy ground.
Amen.
And remember that God is our protector.
Amen. Absolutely. I go back when you stated that, I recall in the book of Nehemiah, the 4th chapter, the 20th verse, Nehemiah said, "Our God shall fight for us." And we need to recognize that. But ladies and gentlemen, what we're finding today, in my most humble opinion, pastors are too shy, too afraid of hurting somebody's feelings or running someone off, and therefore they simply will not preach against sin, will not warn about societal, moral, ethical, so-called political issues today. June is Pride Month. And ladies and gentlemen, it is the cesspool is getting deeper, wider, and stinks a little more each and every year. Pride, according to the Bible, pride is exactly what we see taking place in the lives and the hearts of those that are soaked in sin, the sin of sodomy. I believe we have Lisa on the line. Lisa, go over the question or comment, please.
Hey, Dr. Youngblood. Hey, Dr. Davis. I would just like to say that, good morning, that we are engaging in all of this sin, condoning it, and then we are getting rid of Merry Christmas, the Happy Holidays. You know, it's like, when will it end?
Getting rid of the holy holidays, we're also condemning, prosecuting, removing, praying in Jesus' name. We're condemning, prosecuting, and removing the flag and the opportunity to stand and pledge to the flag. We're removing, condemning, and chastening churches if they say anything against the political arena. And if you say anything about the cognitive inability of Joe Biden, you're now being disengaged with social media and platforms that carry our messages so often today are being called misinformation and disinformation, and at the same time, all of the platforms are open, all of the social media is open, all of the socialist Marxist media relationship to speaking of it, praising, promoting, and promulgating the further PRIDE, gay pride, which is the sodomite lifestyle. It's being pushed and promoted. You're exactly right. It goes back to Isaiah the 5th chapter, the 20th verse, that there'll come a day when sin will be called good and bad, will be called good and good will be called bad, day will be called night, et cetera, et cetera. We've reversed everything that's taking place in society today.
And isn't there a verse that says the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God?
That's right, in Proverbs, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And so let me give you Proverbs.
Yeah.
Proverbs 8 and 13 says, "The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil." pride and arrogance and the evil and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. Mm-hmm. This is what God had to say at the end of that verse, Proverbs 8 and 13. Go back and read that for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it also involves the fear of the Lord.
Yes. Go ahead, please.
Amen. Sir. And when we love our brothers and sisters, we admonish, we warn, we say, hey, don't do that. It's just like training up a child in the way they should go. You tell them not to do things that hurt them. That's the basicness of Christianity and humanity, in my opinion.
Absolutely. I think love, just as you touched on, and may I elongate, love is being willing to confront sin and that sin that will lead to dissipation.
Amen. And I have good news. So maybe the preachers ain't doing it on the large
when
scale.
A parent brings up a child, and I have four sons. That's right. That's right. I have four sons. With those four sons, when I have to spank them, it's because I love them too much to let them continue to do something that was in disobedience to mom and dad. Amen. God does the same. Amen. Go ahead, Lisa.
So, and I have good news. So my niece, who literally doesn't really go to church at all, but she comes with me when she comes to visit. She lives in Wisconsin. She is going to school to be a teacher. And she has a year and a half left, and every time that we talk, I listen to her and we pray. Well, she has started to pray on her own, and she told her mom that prayer is the thing that helps her with all the anxiety that's happening in the world. And last night, we read the book, the chapter of Matthew, through and through. She loved it. She went out and bought a Bible and a journal so that she wow. could stay connected with the Lord.
Good for you. Good for you. Keep on. It's like that faucet dripping on a slate piece of stone that eventually it will make an indentation and will be a factor forever. And I see that taking place, and I'm so thankful to hear. Keep on being that witness before her. I'm thankful to hear that. God bless you. Thank you for calling, Lisa.
God bless you guys.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Dr. Davis and I are talking about the fact that we need to be involved as Christians. We need to take a stand as pastors. We're talking about Pride Month and the pastor. What role should the pastor take? The pastor is the preacher. The pastor is the one that is the prophet. The pastor is the one that is the protector of the flock. And we fail in all three of those areas, ladies and gentlemen, if the pastor is not the salt and light that God's called us to be. That telephone is 904-831-0917. May I say, Dr. Davis, I've got a couple of articles. I'm saddened to see this, but as I've read multiple articles this year in relationship to what is taking place with the Sodomite month called Pride Month. And I don't know of an organization, big box store, a corporate entity, that's not bowing to the demands of the Sodomites to recognize them and to have products out there pushed in the face of the listeners, the buyers. Headline, Walmart goes all out for Pride Month. During the Memorial Day weekend, while most businesses were recognizing the ultimate sacrifice by those who gave their lives for freedom, Walmart took the occasion to promote and celebrate an early start of Pride Month. Walmart presented two homosexuals named Jesus and Sergio, marketing the company's latest line of the LGBTQ plus clothing. Walmart's webpage is carrying roto ads, one of which promotes gay pride. And if you search the word pride on walmart.com, you'll get more than 1,000 items, including one t-shirt that tells you some people are gay. Get over it. So, ladies and gentlemen, where do you go to spend God's money? You have very few places of business, if any, that's not pushing the Sodomite month called Pride Month. We're living in that era and that occasion. And if you have money in your pocket, God placed it there. You can't say, well, I pull myself up my own bootstraps. It's my money. But ladies and gentlemen, God wants us to be in a position to honor him. Listen, I'm an advocate for going against a place of business that is bowing to the Sodomite month. There's some that think that you should not boycott some of these businesses. I'm of the opposite opinion. Boycott to the point that you can every business that sells themselves out and puts Pride Month, the Sodomite lifestyle, in your face. And I say that for whether it is Target, Kohl's, department store, Walmart's, just about every one of the major big box stores, all of the online stores, all of them are pushing the Sodomite month. And it's a sad commentary for America to be in the position that we're swimming in a cesspool. That means Christians, conservatives, pastors, churches, Christian organizations are having to swim in that society. And just as Lisa said just a moment ago, in our schools today, they're taking away the opportunity for us to pray, the opportunity to stand and pledge to the flag. And it's illegal, as it is called. It's not really constitutionally, but it's called illegal for a school to have a Bible that the student might see, or to pray before the classroom, or to read scripture in the classroom. And yet you can talk about the sodomite lifestyle, you can have the gay flag, as they call it, you can have the sodomite agenda, the LGBTQI plus agenda that's being promulgated in our schools. But ladies and gentlemen, that's bad enough. But when you see it taking place in our churches, listen, I'm looking at a headline, says the Episcopal Church unveils the new Pride Shield in celebration of LGBTQI Inclusion Month. And affirmation and celebration, this article reads, in affirmation and celebration, the Episcopal Church, LGBTQ plus members, the Office of Communication is pleased to unveil the new Pride Shield. The design retains the upper left blue corner of the Episcopal Church's shield logo and incorporates elements of the traditional Pride flag, as well as the Progress Pride flag and the Philadelphia Pride flag. Quote, as a longtime ally, this is the church now, the Episcopal Church, as a longtime ally of the LGBTQ plus people, I was so excited to work on the new Pride shield for the Episcopal Church. End quote. Talks about the fact that she was the graphics designer that helped to develop it. Quote, I hope many more people feel the same and will include this new graphic in their Pride Celebration Month. Bye-bye. That's coming from a church. Dr. Davis, how should we view a church that's either ignorant enough, stupid enough, dumb enough, or crass enough to simply preach, teach, and do something in the face of God that God says is a stench and an abomination? How should we view that?
Well, I don't know how most would view them, but I view them as a social club.
Social club, yes.
They're not a church.
Not a church.
They used to be a movement, but now they become a monument.
Mm-hmm.
It's a crying shame when a church take a stance like that and still try to hold on to claiming Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior.
It's an impossibility. It's what's called an oxymoron.
When we go through the scripture, we can read there, and I believe that's in the book of Colossians, that says there is no schism. I'm sorry, that's 1 Corinthians. Thank you, Lord.
1 Corinthians.
Uh-huh. Yeah. He said there's no schism in the body.
Right.
In the body of Christ. Schism means a division.
Division, that's right.
So how can you be for Christ and yet stand against Christ?
You can't.
Because you want to make friends with the world. Mm-hmm. Now, it speaks again back to what I said earlier about the spirit of the age. Now, here's something that I wrote up on that last night. It said the spirit of the age is an entertainment mentality that trivializes the serious and does despot to reverence and respect.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember reading another scripture, and that's in the book of Hebrews, say when you diss the spirit of God, and I'm just going to stop it right there because mm-hmm. many of you know what that means.
Mm-hmm.
When you diss the Spirit of God, you stand in danger of the judgment of God.
That's right.
Now, when God judges and pours his wrath out, my friend, let me tell you, sad will be your case. It went on to say, the current liberal values, absence of moral absolutes and political correctness, and the false belief system are all part of this. Such is the rejection of biblical norms in modern Western society that the spirit of the age is a strong current against Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
It is also defensive. Dare speak against it, and we are rounded on as extremists, intolerant, and almost guilty of hate crime.
Mm-hmm.
Does that fit where we're at right
That's
now?
That's where we're at right now. That
I mean, this thing hit home. In the spirit of the age, and how we become the children of disobedience, upon which the wrath of God will come, and scripture warns against that so many times. So guess what? As Christians, we ought to be watching and praying.
That's right. Absolutely.
Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. put on the whole armor of God.
Amen.
This is what we must do, more especially as pastors.
Yes.
So this is what we're trying to say to all the pastors today. If you're not doing this, you're not doing your job.
I can just put a little footnote to that. If you're not doing that, put off the rope, so to speak. Get out of the pulpit. Find a job.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Some may not like
it. Yeah, they're hiring down to McDonald's.
That's right. Yeah, can have more integrity there than in the pulpit if you're not willing to stand on the truth of the Word of God.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline. We just touched on what was taking place in one denomination, which is the Episcopal Church. But here's another one. United Methodist Church lifts 40-year ban on gay clergy and the LGBTQ weddings. I'm reading a paragraph. United Methodist Church has listed the nearly 40-year-old ordaining gay clergy, a major shift in one of the country's largest denominations, on the heels of the massive exodus from the increasingly liberal denomination. The remaining leaders approved the pro-LGBTQ move, and their annual conference Wednesday informally enshrined a shift that was years in the making. And ladies and gentlemen, this denomination called the United Methodist Church, they've already lost over 1 million members in the past few years because of their stand. Now, they've literally, physically taken the position of no holds barred, celebrating and embracing the LGBTQ sodomite lifestyle. I'm saddened by it. But ladies and gentlemen, there's one good note, several good notes, but one is that our governor, Ron DeSantis, blocked the opportunity, as they've been doing year after year after year, to light our bridges in the state of Florida with the sodomite rainbow colors. Here's the headline: Florida will not light bridges in rainbow colors. So Jacksonville's LGBTQ community, the Florida Department of Transportation decided the Acosta Bridge would be lit in red, white, and blue for the state's government's Freedom Summit and summer rather than the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. Ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is, as Christians, we need to be able to, as Christians, as pastors, that's our role as pastors, to be the watchman on the wall. In your leisure, study the text in Ezekiel chapter 33. Chapter 33 in Ezekiel, and I paraphrase, said the pastor's responsibility is to warn of dangers ahead, and if the warning goes out and the people do not listen, the blood will not be on his hands. But if he does not warn, the blood will be on his hands.
Amen.
And ladies and gentlemen, listen, we're warning, we're sounding the alarm today that the sodomite lifestyle will lead a person to hell based on the scripture, Genesis 19, Leviticus 18, Romans 1, 1 Corinthians 6, and I can go on and on and on. So ladies and gentlemen, the position that we need to take as Christians, conservatives, and patriots is to warn that the LGBTQ sodomite lifestyle is sin, and we ought to say no.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted that you joined us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. You are invited to participate in a broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.